Ready? Want to just do this thing?
Let's do this thing.
Prepare your voice.
Me. Sibilance. Testing.
It's been too long. I don't remember how these things work anymore.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 53rd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for early May 2016. In this episode, we catch up on all that news we've been missing. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode. Welcome to episode 53 of Dead Zone the Podcast. It's been a while, but we're back to regular episode. We had hoped by now we'd have the Kickstarter in our hands, but it's not quite here yet. So instead, we'll just cover some news. We'll get into it. My name's Rob.
I'm Jack.
And we'll see what happens here. So we do have some news and some pictures to talk about. I think this will probably end up being a pretty short episode, but we'll see how it goes. And, get into the news.
No news.
We begin with our first segment, the news.
The first piece of news is that, obviously, Dead Zone version 2 and Infestation, the PDFs have been released to all Kickstarter backers. And supposedly they're going to be released to Kickstarter, the first Kickstarter backers, but a lot of people are saying they haven't got it yet. But I'm sure if you message Mantic, they'll send you a link. Check your Mantic digital account, see if it's in there. But other than that, the Kickstarter is actually shipping. Many backers already have the Kickstarter in their grimy little hands, those British people who get them first. And they're building and they're enjoying, and we don't have ours yet.
Painting and playing and
being happy. But we did get the Infestation PDF. Check that out. It's got all the elite lists in it. Have you actually checked it out, Jack? Did you actually look through it?
Not throughout. At no point did I go cover to cover, but I did look at the interesting parts for me. I delved through the nuggets that I would look forward to.
The elite army lists are cool, but they are missing plague. There's no elite plague list.
Well,
but Ronnie mentioned that that'll be coming soon, anyways. But we actually simulcast that coach's pod, or actually YouTube video interview with Ronnie. He mentioned a lot of stuff. Go back, listen to that one.
Yes, Family Gamers 777. There was an interview with Ronnie, and in video form on YouTube, but. We were blessed enough. Coach requested that we also give an audio only version for people who want to just like listen while you're commuting and doing whatnot. So take a listen. And he also gave us a little shout out.
Yes, he cleared things up for Ronnie. It's not Coach and Friends.
No, he did. Ronnie was a little back ass words on. What our relationship was and who we were and actually who ran the podcast. Just some small errors.
Oh well. It just proves that we're definitely not on their payroll.
That's true. And it also proves that our stink is getting on to Coach. soon he'll be ignored as well.
So with the Infestation, like I said, the elite lists are cool. Check it out. Buy it. I'm sure you can go to Mantic Digital and buy it if you're not getting it for free. And it's got some cool stuff in there, and it's got new campaigns and things like that. We'll probably go over that more in depth at a later time. But we do have, if you go to our website, you can see the pictures. We do have the cover for the Infestation. Nice looking rat man.
I'm hoping that our unboxing episode will... Like the unboxing episode, then we'll have a couple hobby episodes with like the news. Everything's going to be, after everyone gets it and people will be talking about it. But we will have to, do maybe an Infestation book like that. Just the supplement.
Yeah, we'll review it and talk about what's in it.
Worm our way through and just do that one. But again, unboxing addressing everyone's adulation and just the upswing of emotions, and then supplement.
Yep, for sure. Another bit of news is that Mark Smith from the Rules Committee on Facebook, he did say there's going to be more elite army lists coming that couldn't fit into the book due to page count, and they're going to be released as PDFs. And we know that there's definitely a Surgeon Howlett list, because they kept mentioning it. And so we should expect to see that, and Dr. Simmons and people like that who aren't in the current book. So we'll see if she actually gets some good stats.
Again, I've been saying it for a long time. Any heroes with a shoddy stat line and that can easily be rectified and made whole by giving them certain things in the elite army list that then makes them not MVP over the top must have status, but I think I can play that and not feel like I'm hamstrung. And I can see why they can't A, get all those elite army lists in one book, and B, why they wouldn't. That is perfect for now. They've got a website that's half-assed working. It's getting there. That's something they could every month, little tidbits to keep people coming back. Boom, boom, boom. What's coming up this month? Oh, hopefully it's my army. Marauders. I want to see. Oh, well, okay, no, it's the Rebs. But maybe next month I'll show up for the, something to dole out.
Yeah, as you're saying, that they do have a new website called Warpath Universe. But right now it's mostly just Dead Zone stuff, since Warpath's in its nascent form. And it's warpathuniverse.com. And it's got a lot of hobby stuff for Warpath and Dead Zone, like unboxings and things, videos. Coach's stuff isn't up there yet, but it's supposed to be up there eventually. Tyler from Dreadpath Zone's got his stuff up there. Terrain Tutor. Lots of cool stuff. But hopefully, yeah, like you say, it'll be a place for user-generated stuff, plus Mantic putting stuff up. I'd love to see that. Get some new scenarios and all those.
And Rob, is there anything up there from the Dead Zone podcast, the originators of doing coverage for Mantic's Dead Zone game?
No, definitely not. We're dead to them.
What's wrong with your stupid podcast?
Hopefully, since we are associated with Coach, maybe they'll mistakenly put our stuff up there.
Some coaching friends. Coach's
stuff. Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And
yep. T-shirt made.
Coaching friends?
No, it's going to be Couching Fiends, but...
No. Couching Fiends. That makes more sense. But we also have a shot of the Nightmare Sprue, the hard plastic sprues, if you haven't seen one of them. It's very cool. It's got all the bits on it. And I do like how you get some hands there, so you can do some jazz hands with your nightmares.
Is it just me? Is there like a production fault on those hands? Like there's a... Maybe that's where it locks into something, but it looks like a big hole, right?
Yeah, I think that's where you stick it to the weapon. It's for holding onto the weapon.
Unless we're looking at, say, like a crucified... Like, is that Jesus
rat stigmata? Man?
Yeah, is it a stigmata, some sort of religious...
Yeah, I assume that's... We'll see when we get it. We don't have it yet, but I assume that's where the weapon sticks on. We'll see. Hopefully it doesn't just have a random hole in his hand.
Again, stigmata, pretty awesome.
And we also have a shot of the Terraton Shock Trooper all painted up. He's looking cool. And supposedly they're really good in game, too, but...
I've heard that the molds for these... Terraton Shock Troopers are really taking a beating.
Yeah, that was part of the reason that it was delayed, is because these guys are metal, I think. And yeah, the way that they're cut and everything, it was ripping the molds all the time. So supposedly that was one of the reasons for the delay in the Kickstarter, because they're cool and they need to be done.
And you're saying the stats make them a pretty tasty addition?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are talking about how cool they are, so... It might be the new Terraton to use. Although I think he's a mercenary, so you can only have one. It's a strange thing. He's a mercenary troop, I think.
Mercenary trooper, yeah.
Yeah. But he looks cool. It's good to have more Terratons.
Hey, it's good to have more models. I'm looking forward to one day having more models.
And the last Dead Zone thing we're going to talk about is they put up a painted shot of the Khaleeshi, which is the... the elf-like rangers, the Asterian guys who aren't in the suits, who go out and fight hand-to-hand, and they look like elves.
Yeah, it's space elves.
It's a strange addition to the Asterians, because it's very different from everything else in the Asterians, but the backstory kind of makes sense, so. And they do look cool.
It looks like they've taken their fantasy line and just went, let's add, they don't even add anything. Like, they look well out of place.
They definitely could be in the fantasy line. Like, you could use these guys for Kings of War, for your elves. Yeah. Because there's nothing futuristic about them. Their armor slightly, I guess, but not much. But it's, at least it's not just scantily clad girls, it's scantily clad boys, too, so.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to have your cheesecake, you might as well, represent on both sides.
Doesn't the one in the middle look like Zardoz? He's got the high boots and the loincloth.
Well, the gun is good, and the penis is bad, so I can see. Yeah, I do think it has a Connery-esque appearance.
We'll have to paint ours like Zardoz. We'll take a quick break for Mantic, and we'll be right back, even though they don't deserve it. And we'll be right back to talk about some Warpath news, just to cover some news.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone podcast. I'm your host, Jack, with my co-host, Rob, and that was a Mantic ad.
It was indeed. And now, about Warpath. They are doing the Warpath structured playlist right now. And you can go to the, we'll put a link in the show notes for the forums that you can hook up with the Warpath and Firefight playtests. Because they want you to get your, if you want to get into these rules and have a say, that's where you do it. And Warpath rule set 1.5 just came out. So go download that and check that out. And yeah, playtests. Warpath, we've seen the Dreadpath Zone guys played a lot. And yeah, I think we'll stick with Dead Zone.
I still have not. I apologize to Tyler right here, right now. I will admit that I have not watched any of it. You said you did. You said, hey, go take a look. I want to talk to you about it. And I just still have not. So,
yeah, it doesn't seem our thing. But maybe you'll have a different opinion than I do. But
no, it's
they, not they were having fun with it. Yeah, it's not a slight to them or to the game. It's just not our thing.
Yeah, it's not a slight to the game or Tyler's. I like the, but I just haven't been able to get to it, and so I shall hold my comments to myself until such time. Then I'll say one way or the other.
But the good thing about Warpath is the vehicles.
And yeah,
we got a great shot of the painted Forgefather tank, looking amazing, and so happy we're getting one of these because it's cool. Do you agree?
Yeah. Of all the stuff that we've got coming that they're showing us now, the tank is like, okay, it's a Forgefather tank. It's got the armor that vaguely looks like a dwarf's head, and it's okay, yeah.
I think not my cool aesthetic.
I personally like the new Asterian flyer.
Yeah, the Chira / Chima.
That if you were to, you know, hold me down and stuff leaves down my shirt on the playground, that's the one I would choose.
Yeah, we have some test 3D prints that they put out, and it's looks really delicate, but it looks very cool. It's very different from anything else, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. If you're playing Asterians and you're like, okay, I want something, this looks like. At no point do you go, oh, okay, yeah, that. No, it is the aesthetic. It is, there is no mistaking, and it takes what you like about that look and just like bathes in it. It's very Asterian, and I think it's for Asterian players. It's going to be a just a marvel to put together.
Do you think that gun on the second picture there, it's the same gun. Looks like the same gun as the turret. Do you think it's the same size? It looks like a different size, doesn't it? Looks bigger, but maybe it's just the angle.
No, it's just the turret they parked on top.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, you can see the saucer base, the whole thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it's, but it looks like it's a different size. That's why I was curious.
Oh, forced perspective because it's a little closer to the camera.
I'm not sure. Anyways, we'll have to see when we get it.
Yeah, I just assumed because it has all the, it looks like they just parked the full turret with all the saucer and everything right on top. But
yeah, we'll see. I do like the aesthetic of it. And Warpath, it's coming along. We'll see how it goes. But generally, yeah, it's got a lot of things in the game itself. Like this, it's like Kings of War, but then with an extra layer of complexity with like suppression and things like that. Which I can see why people like it, because everybody's clamoring for a more complex game. But personally, I like to keep it simple.
And as fans of Dead Zone and as Dead Zone players, as long as they stat it up for us, we'll keep looking at the stuff. We'll keep buying the stuff. We'll keep talking about the stuff. I don't know if we'll jump on this version. The first version's not going to be the polished gem. It's not going to be perfect, and it might not. And I'm not saying we won't ever try it, but right now I want to see that flyer. I want to see that tank stats for Dead Zone. So what? It's 100 points, half your army. Mm-hmm. I want to drive that tank down my 3x3 squared, city / highway, whatever I want to do with it. Then I'll be happy.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll actually do stats for it, but we'll do stats for it, and we'll share them with everyone.
They will do stats for it.
No, I we'll see, but I think they won't. From what I can tell, Ronnie's really pushing Warpath, and he doesn't care that much about Dead Zone. He sees Dead Zone as a stepping stone to Warpath. And I think, they don't care about statting anything up for Dead Zone. Maybe I'm just being cynical, but that's what I feel.
Well, first of all, that's my job.
I know. I'm becoming the cynical person.
There's going to be a problem with our dynamic if
we're both cynical.
Yeah. People will be just like, oh, God, these guys. Grumpy old bastard one and grumpy old bastard two, pattering on about stuff.
It's true. I had a birthday. I'm old now.
You did have a birthday. You don't look a day over 50, but
I try. So we'll have another ad, and this one's going to be for Strike Zone. And guess what? Adam's back.
What?
No, new episodes. He put out 4 episodes in one day.
Really?
He's done school for the semester, and he's at it. So, see, get back in there.
I already sent his widow a corsage, so maybe...
It's better than a horse's head in his bed.
That's awkward.
Well, it was only awkward when you're like, now that he's gone. Adam doesn't have a wife. We're just joking. But anyways, go see Strike Zone.
Or does he?
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, it's good to see him back because we
missed him. Yeah, for sure.
It's been too long. It's been like 6 months. We thought he'd just gone the way of the dodo. But no.
His last episode was January. It was like a Happy New Year. And it was Happy New Year and zombies. That's all I remember. And I checked every week for months. And nothing, nothing, nothing.
Well, now he's back.
Nothing. Yeah, I guess that's partly my responsibility. I'm not on social media. He probably has been posting things. Hey guys, still around? Whatever. But me, I feared an avalanche.
He does live in the tundra. He could have just been frozen somewhere.
In a hedge maze outside of a hotel that's been snowed in.
Quite possibly. That's probably actually likely. It's lucky that never happened to him. Anyways, go listen to Adam. Strike Zone. We'll be right back.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. It is shout-outs time.
And welcome back. The next section of this podcast is going to be shoutouts. And Jack, this is a special shoutout just for you.
Oh, geez. Whenever you start with, hey, I got this one for you, Jack, it's always bad.
I don't know for how long you've been looking for this one man, and now he exists. And that's the guy who made your favorite Dead Zone army builder. His name is Luther Blissett, and he's updated it for version 2. It's not quite finished, because it doesn't have ways to change your weapon loadouts.
I was just going to say that. I've been waiting. It was updated to the point where you could make the army. You just couldn't give the specialists their weapons and stuff. And I thought, okay, he's just working the code. And then I was going to bring that up. But hey, we found him.
Yep. He came out of the woodwork and started posting. And we were like, yes, we've been looking for you.
Now, did you go, hey, Luther, I see you on Twitter. Thank you. We run a podcast. We've talked about you. Or was it like, hey, I found this on here. I'm going to mention it, Jack.
I didn't contact him. Please, I'm not that outgoing.
Oh.
No, we just accept their love.
Now, does he know he exists, though?
Oh, I don't think so.
Does Luther? Oh.
Luther, if you're listening, thank you. And let us know that we exist, because we need your validation. But it's...
I just wanted to say, hey, like, we have 16,000 people, literally. More than that now, who download and listen to this podcast. 16,000. To think that one of them was the guy who made that website, I think was a little lofty, considering the billions of people on the planet. But I would have liked to have thought that all my adulation over, like all of the time I've prostrated myself at the altar that is his coding, that that he was hearing it, but maybe not.
Well, hopefully Luther is listening. And we thank you. And his website, the link will be in the show notes because it is hard to say.
Yeah, I've said it out loud on the web, like on the podcast. I've said it, and it probably doesn't do it justice. It's probably not the way he intends it. When he writes it out and he says it in his brain, it's nothing like the jumbled mess that just tumbles out of my mouth.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to try. But on the subject of army builders, there is someone I have talked to on Facebook, and that's Thomas Giacchino. I hope that's how I pronounce your last name. And he's making the battle scribe files for Dead Zone Resurrection, and he's got them mostly done. And once again, the link to the BSR for the battle scribe files is going to be in the show notes. You click on that, you install that file, and you'll be able to use battle scribe to make lists. And he's done it, where you can switch weapons, and everything looks really good. It's a battle scribe, which is a pain, but...
Coach is the one that recommended that to you.
The program, yes. But then finally someone was actually making it.
That's.
So it's perfect. And that one really works really well. It's just you have to use Battlescribe. The other one's great because it's all online. It's just a webpage. And hopefully he gets it so you can use the weapons, because that'd be great.
I have faith.
But other than that, check out the Battlescribe files. And if you're used to Battlescribe, it'll be super easy for you. And use that and make your armies, because it's cool.
Now for a segment we call Our Stuff.
We'll move on to Our Stuff. Jack, have you done anything Dead Zone related or miniature related in any way?
In any way, shape, or form?
You have. I know you have. So what have you done?
Not a damn thing.
That's not true. You've done stuff.
Yeah, but it's a surprise.
What?
Okay, yeah. Where should I begin? The first of my hobbying adventures came in the form of usually when Rob comes over and he's got a little baggie full of something, it just means that's party night. This time it happened to be filled with zombie dogs from a game called Zombicide.
No, it's not from Zombicide. It's from a game called Zombies, actually.
Oh, Zombies.
Yeah. They're like a hundred dog, a bag full of zombies, I think it's called. 100 zombies.
He goes, oh, I've got the other ones, so here, this is a good starter. But it was a bag full of zombies.
Yeah, I think I gave you 50, I think.
I don't know, but I painted them up.
Jack has, how many zombies you have? Zombie dogs you have now?
Oh, I got...
30? Something like that?
More than enough. I painted them up, And then anticipating, I thought in the Kickstarter, that box will be delivered to Rob's hot, sweaty hands any second now. This was about 2 months ago.
January.
So I, yeah, that's when we're going to get it, January, obviously. So I was going to preemptively, I've been playing around with making molds. Rob and I both have been tinkering with different things. I made some molds of bases because I was going to base all mine, make all the bases first. So when the infestation shows up, all my little rat men, whatever scraps Rob doles out to me, puts in my little, whatever alms he puts in my little wooden bowl, I would take and I would have bases pre-made so I could paint them, put on the base. They all have a kind of a different aesthetic. It'd be nice. But I had all these bases sitting here painted and I was waiting. All of a sudden zombie dogs show up. So project one met project two. And now they're all mushed in together into one big pile of zombie dogs.
And now you got to make more bases for your ratmen eventually.
Yeah. So I've been toying with the, because I had some misadventures learning how to do molding and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's resin all over your desk and your hands. And
well, the resin was one thing, but just the caulking I used silicone molds and stuff like that. I was thinking of doing a Professor Jack's video, and I might just do that. When we're done doing the Containment Protocol books, that's a lot of studio time. We've been nose to the grindstone, which is why we're in different locations right now, because we're pretty busy. Once that's done, I think I'm going to do a tutorial on how to make molds and how to. I'm almost positive I'm going to, because I went through a couple of nightmare things that if I could stop someone else who just wants to make bases, doesn't have to go through,
yeah, that
it would be like just a like a leg up on not going through what I went through. So yeah, and if you go to the website, you'll be able to see, no doubt, a picture of a bunch of zombie / plague pups that I did.
Yep. And we'll have to get more bases made. And I've been molding some bases, and I did use them for my Forge Fathers. I had a bunch of Forge Fathers from the Crazy Boxes this year. So I painted them up as a Forge Father force, because we didn't have them, really. And you'll see the pictures online. And my bases are more just rubble bases that I was able to mold up and then put my Forge Fathers on. And I like my Forge Fathers because they're cool.
So so it's not just an insert inside a base that you purchased. That whole thing, the smooth outside round part, the mold of the rubble bit, and then that outside.
Yeah, for some of them have straight edges, some of them have the curved edge. Yep. Matters which base I was making them off of. The one with the Brocker, that is an insert. He's actually on an inserted base.
Oh, so okay.
It's a smaller thing. And then, yep, I painted up the Yotan and the other little drill thing, which is fun. And I painted up a Dreadball giant, I guess, Forgefather giant. And I turned him into a mini Iron Ancestor. So I have that, which is cool. And that's about it.
I like the Yotan. I like you painted it in your Forge Father, like brass and copper, like metal based, like that's the aesthetic you went for, and you've carried it through. But it's still just like a neat looking miniature.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This one I made him, because I have another one that I had pointing down, like straight. This one I made pointing up, so he's more like using it as a bombard.
Anti-aircraft.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's fun stuff. And I do like the Forge Fathers. I've kind of fallen in love with them. Coaches infected me that I've come to love the Forge Fathers.
Well, I don't think anyone can blame you.
They're fun.
Yeah. I sound like a hypocrite, but Space Dwarves A-okay. Elves, eh.
Well, the Asterians are cool. It's just the Khaleesi are a little too space elvy. I think the Asterians themselves, with the Cyphers and the marionettes and those guys, I think they're very cool.
I do too. But I'm talking in this show, the canon that is the show.
It's the Khaleesi that, are a little too space elfy.
The mother of dragons that showed up in their bikinis. But I like the Forge Fathers.
The Brockers aren't just in bikinis.
No. Even the ones that are dressed like prisoners,
Well, they're not supposed to be prisoners. They're supposed to be miners.
Yeah.
But they always paint them with green. Not green, with orange. So it does make them look like prisoners or something.
Orange jumpsuits.
Which they did the same thing for the Dreadball Extreme prisoner team. So yeah, every time you look at them, it's like, those are prisoners. No, they're just supposed to be miners. They're supposed to be like safety clothes instead of trying to escape prison clothes. They should have done bright green or something. Like fluorescent green. That'd be cool. You know, like the workers on, I think we've talked about this before, that the workers on like power lines and stuff wear that really bright reflective green.
Yeah. So something high vis.
Yeah.
That shows, hey, people need to know where I am at all times because there's heavy machinery moving around. I need to be visible, but also not like, oh, by the way, also prisoners wear that when they're picking up garbage on the side of like a chain gang in Alabama.
I don't understand why they're dressed like miners anyways, because these are, sure, they come from, like, Brockers are miners, but these are like the pirate kind of, I'm going out to steal stuff kind of Brockers. Because isn't that even their leader's ability has something to do with stealing things? Like,
you're right, because if they were miners, like, I could see...
Why would they be in a dead zone?
In a scenario, I could see, like, on a not Nexus Psi, but say another planet, and it's like, okay, there's a infestation of Veermen in the mines, and these guys literally like, drop your pickaxes and fight. Like, but hey, you know what? If I'm painting, if I'm a professional painter and they want that, that's fine. The high vis, whatever. Who am I to complain?
It's just a weird choice is all I'm thinking. Anyways, I think that wraps it up. I think it's going to be a short show, but as we say, we've been just waiting for our Kickstarter to show up.
But you are going to be pleasantly surprised at, I think when you get the first box of crap delivered to your door, I think you're going to be surprised how easy it is to forgive this transgression.
Oh yeah.
Start building, start hobbying, and you will not be the dour Rob that is today's podcast. Yeah, you know, you're not as much of a professional. You've let your emotions get the best of you. You've become almost a me. But I think once that box is in your hands, you'll be back to the boyish, the charming, effervescent Rob that we all know and love.
It's I've been working my fingers to the bone with this I do have too with this Dead Zone Containment Protocols audiobooks. So I think that's beat us down a bit. But hopefully you're enjoying them because we put a lot of work into them.
And if you didn't...
Shut up!
Yeah, get your pitchforks and your torches and come...
Come at me,
do
bro.
Whatever you need to do.
No, please, just shut up. If you don't like them, I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah,
I will block you. I will just block you. That's fine.
No, worse yet, we'll tell Coach you're being mean to us.
Oh, that's true. We would sick Coach on you, and that's not something you want. He holds grudges for a long time.
Oh, boy. He's like a pit bull.
You guys don't even know. You should hear the stuff he says behind the scenes.
I think Ronnie's still licking his wounds.
It's true. But anyways, maybe we'll have Coach on for our unboxing, because I know he wants to talk about all the new models once he gets them, so maybe we'll have him on.
And we already know we're going to be doing another Dead Zone Monthly.
Yep.
He already said he wants to do. So, we'll...
Soon.
We've got stuff on the way. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Bear with us, people.
So, until next time, go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast and buy stuff. And also check out falleninfantry.wordpress.com for all my other unboxings. And hopefully the Dead Zone unboxing eventually. And other than that, you be safe out there.
A ding, ding, ding.
I don't know what that means. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
This is You're the Green Pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like the way to go. Well, that's what they did for Dungeon Saga, and the new Dreadballs are like that. I don't get the color-wise, but at least they're one-piece miniatures.
Yeah, keep the hobby to like the hobby to the game rather than the hobby with a game around it.
The only people that do like pre-painted is HeroClix, and everybody complains about the quality of them. I think they look pretty nice, but they're not like they're pretty basic paint jobs. They're not like shaded or anything, but they're cool.
Pre-painted kind of robs the gateway aspect a little bit because people be like, I'm not going to ruin this because I'm a hack.
It's almost better to be just colored plastic, yeah.
Like Dust, where they have the decal on there and it's the color, but it's...
They're primed, yeah.
It's primed in the color and it's got some decals on it, so like you can put it on the board and it looks...
Well, the joke is the new Dust, you can buy the miniatures fully painted, which are really expensive. Actually, they're not that expensive for like full price. And then you can buy them like we got them, which is in between. And now you can buy them as kits where they're totally separate. They're all just pieces, the new Dust. So they have three different ways to get them now.
How's the price point on just the pieced up ones? Like the ones we had were pretty reasonable.
The problem now is that they've raised the price on all the Dust stuff. Like it's super expensive. So because they don't have a distributor anymore because they've really f***ed up that whole thing. So they, I think they just had to raise the price because they have to do it all themselves now. And the regular miniatures are super expensive.
Like
$5 each miniature. So it's like $20 for five guys kind of thing.
That's well above your threshold, your must have threshold.
Like it's $1 for regular miniatures and like $2 for really nice miniatures. Like that's really splurging if it's $2 per miniature.
So $5 per kind of well
that's infinity prices at that point, or even you're getting close to proto spices at that point, so you might as well just buy nice miniatures.
I was gonna say cool mini or not, or the high end Dragon Forge ones. Mm-hmm. Like you might as well go that route. Dust.
Yeah, Dust is supposed to be cheap and quick.
Yeah, Dust isn't that quality. Yeah. I like the aesthetic of them. I like the looks of them, and I don't have any complaints one way or the other. But
quality-wise, when you look at like one of the high-end, even the Infinity miniatures compared to those,
yeah, if you're just
so much better. Yeah.
If you're looking at Malifaux and going, oh, I'm looking at sculptures, and I want to play a game that has, guys.
I don't even know how much Malifaux miniatures are.
And then they're the same cost. You're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, why would you choose to, especially now that the people doing Bolt Action are coming out with their weird world two game called something 47, I can't remember what it's called. So it's going to have tank walkers and things like that. So they have competition now too. So and it's going to use Bolt Action rules, which are way better rules than Dust supposedly. Like people love Bolt Action rules.
Well, Dust never caught on the way Bolt Action did, so you've got a built-in audience already that's like, oh, you know those rules you already know? But imagine if the Nazis had steam-powered tanks.
Exactly. That's exactly what this is. Yeah.
You go, oh, well.
Because Bolt Action is Alessio, who did Kings of War. He did Bolt Action, too. So he's like, you know, you get the one of the best designers out there making your shit. It's pretty good.
And then you already know it.
Yeah.
So if you're bored of the game, you're like, oh, you know what? We've played. It's just now you can spice it up. And there's no what's the price point for getting in on a game if it's the same scale? Like You already know it. You already have all the board. You have all the stuff. Now you buy two or three little things and play test it, try it out. It's the same rules. You know what you're getting into.
And you have most of the same guys because there's still all the infantry and stuff. You can use your bolt action guys.
It's just or you go, okay, well, I'm going to play Dust because I like the crazy alt reality thing. It's pretty...
Dust, I think personally, the Dust mechs and stuff look way better. I like the aesthetic of them. Cool, I think it's way cooler, but... what you can do is get the Conflict 47 or whatever it's called rules and use your Dust miniatures in there. Or do what we're going to do eventually and use the Dead Zone rules for Dust. You know, like...
Yeah.
Dust but Zone. I would never pay full price for a Dust miniature. Like, that's crazy.
You don't need to now. No. There was a fire sale. You jumped on that. I think you could probably field, even if... Like the Dust Warfare... If you could probably field a massive army point wise, that would be
I probably have enough for a good Russian and a good like Allies army. We didn't have much. We didn't get as much of the Axis just because they were sold out more. People like the Axis more. So.
Yeah, but either one, like those two. If someone was like, "Hey, if that exploded and Dust did become the thing." Mm-hmm. You're set. There's no reason for you to have to pay. Hey, I need some commandos. Here's $50 for a box of six. You know,
it's stupid, the pricing. Like each mech's like $30. I don't think they're worth $30. That's almost getting to like GW pricing.
I was shocked at the cheapness of them when they were going in the fire sale. Like, but. Yeah.
It was like $9.
That was artificially low.
Yeah.
But $30 is high. I think the happy medium is like right in there, in the middle, where you're like, okay, I'm not.
Yeah, $15 to $20 or somewhere in there, maybe. Even then, that seems high.
Yeah, but you were at one point just buying because you could. At one point, you're like, I have enough already, but it's so cheap, I can't help myself.
Yeah.
That price point doesn't work for a business, but a price point that's like, I really love this model. I'm going to get another one. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm weighing the options. I will purchase another one.
Yeah. Because there is miniatures that I see, I'm like, oh, I'd love to have that. It's just too expensive, you know? Even Dead Zone stuff at full price is pretty expensive.
Yeah, the Infestation better get here soon. I'm looking forward to the Veerman because it's something different, and I think it's something that the two of us, if we found like a color that like kind of like an overall color, like you know how we did the
Asterians?
no, not the Asterians. That was just like we had to get that done.
You painted them, and I just tried to match the color.
No, that was a chore because we said we were going to do it on the podcast, and then we were like, yeah, let's just do it. Remember when we did the Sorax and
the Reps,
and we both went, okay, it's going to be a purple.
Yeah.
It's going to be a purple and it's going to be a red. And then when we both independently did it,
they turned out really close to each other. Yeah.
We looked at each other. We chose the same red. We then our accent colors were also the same. Like, we went with the purple fur, and then we went with like the weapons and armor were kind of similar.
Yeah. And literally, there's some Reb guys. I look at them like, did I paint that or Jack paint that? Like, they were pretty close to those Rebs.
The humans for sure.
Yeah, it's the humans. I don't know who painted which. Usually I can tell from the base, but I think at the time they're all the clear bases. So we're
exactly
the same.
And some of the. Some of the other ones too. It's like I don't know.
Yeah,
but we were so.
That
I would say
one that we were close. Yeah, for sure.
We were on the same wavelength, anyways.
I would like to see you do Enforcers because they are bitchy to paint, and I'd like to see how you did them because they're kind of plain. It's hard to paint them interesting, but I'd like to see how you paint up some Enforcers.
I would even try and paint them up new. I get to a certain point and I go, I wonder what, like if I just make the metal exposed here, just on an edge, and then I start with a little, it'd be
a little rusty and beat up.
Next thing you know, it's got liquids dripping out of things and rusty parts and
yeah,
the whole thing looks like a piece of shit out of a junkyard.
Well, that's certainly an aesthetic, but there's quite a few things to paint. So
I think there's going to be no shortage of hobbying.
No, we'll have a lot more to do. That's for sure.
It's going to be content for the podcast. Also, it's going to be fun for us.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do actual Dead Zone again.
It's just the fact that in January and February, it would have been fantastic paint and build. And getting it in June means, okay, well, I can either do this or I've got to cut my grass. Oh, well, I got to cut my deck.
Yeah, there's a lot more work.
It's not going to be as enjoyable.
The only good thing is in the summer, you can use the airbrush outside or do the spray painting, which you can't do in the winter.
Well, yeah.
So I'll bring the airbrush over and we can play with that too.
Well, I made a mold of the dead body that you saw.
Yeah.
And that's one of my go-tos. Like, oh, I got extra goo. I'll pour one in there.
You got a lot of dead bodies.
I will probably have about 10 dead bodies by the time I'm done making enough bases for...
Well, you can always chop them up and use as bits and that the rats are gnawing on or something. Well, we won't get any more plague until... actually, I don't even think we are getting plague with the Warpath. I think we're done with plague for a while. You do have zombies coming. And you have your aberration. Your aberration could be like eating a guy.
The aberration is... Again, I've painted a lot of green guys. I just painted those dogs. I wished that I had paid attention. I painted the new plague dogs, and I was going, oh, this is basically what they look like. But I painted them like I thought they looked. And when I painted them, I made them a really dark, bluish, like sick green. Like all the original ones are like a sick, pestilent green. And the plague dogs that I just did now, the zombie ones, are like these bright neon with all the... So they don't look the same. They look close enough.
Yeah.
But they look like my recollection of
it's perfect, what you remember what they was.
Yeah. And then when I got them together, I looked at it. Oh, no. One looks like a radioactive cartoon dog. The other one looks like something from a biohazard thing, a hospital's incinerating, like it.
So, are you going to do aberration in the green, or are you going to try something different, or what?
I don't know.
See how it goes. Play it by ear.
Yeah, I might go with the crazy neon green and have him tie in with the plague pups. But then again, who knows?
Yeah,
I never did any bone jutting out or nonsense or anything like that. It was all basically like just stretched out musculars. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah, you did yours more like gooey instead of chitinous.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool. But yeah, the rats will be fun because it's something new, and it'll be fun to have fun with those new pathfinders because they have more cloth on them, more variety you can put to them.
Yeah, less assembly line, more like individual. More With the elite army lists, I was going to say I think it lends itself to making individual teams, but now that I'm thinking about it, no, it really doesn't. Like with the pathfinders that you have, then you could, okay, well, all these ones I'll paint this color scheme, and then you...
Yeah, there's still a lot of variety that you can make in those army lists because you still have to choose everything, right?
Yeah. And you could have like a group of like four that look like this and stuff like that. And
that's why, like, every time I get new enforcers, I paint them different because I'm like, I don't care. Like, I have enough of each kind to build. Like, you have so many enforcers, right? But yeah, I could say that's why I have to choose. Will I make my new long range observer look like my checkmate enforcers, my original green guys, or chrome? Because we got that now that chrome works, I got a chrome leader. So
you got a Phasma,
pretty much. Yeah, I only regret was spraying him because it actually made the chrome dull by putting a clear coat on him.
Oh,
even
did
if it? Even if it was the I had high gloss coat, it still made him more dull. Chrome was brighter than the clear coat. So
because the mirror finish of the chrome
is
still higher gloss than the gloss that the...
So now he looks almost silver instead of chrome. So next time, I won't clear coat him. I'll just leave him as is.
Because it's got to be pretty durable. If you bought like a trim clad indoor, outdoor, or exterior or something. Or
and we're also not like... We don't transport the miniatures. We don't... You know, like it's not... They don't... How often do we even like... If they drop onto a carpet. It's not like we're smashing them against things, you know?
Those clear bases seem to be like to want desperately to be away from the miniature.
Yeah, they snap off pretty easy.
We've had quite a few fatalities in that regard.
Yeah, I think it's something to do with that acrylic doesn't bond very well. But every other base, I've never had any other base fall off.
No.
The only thing I've ever broken was a building, but I think that's to do with that that spray.
Oh, when I was moving.
Speaking of breaking buildings.
No, yeah. Speaking of breaking bases off. Yeah. The plague. I had the plague thing here, and the top foam tipped off, and a Terraton, two stage twos, a Terraton, and the one of the Type A's. All those bases went pew 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 off. I was like, what the?
It was all clear bases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Like crazy glue doesn't stick to it very well.
So the Terraton, I did I molded a specialty base for him.
That's cool.
The stage twos I just stuck back on because I don't use them and
use them in the new rules. They're supposedly good in the new rules.
And then the stage one I actually pinned. I actually drilled and put some things attaching them back to it. So hopefully that's it. Hopefully that they stick on, but I was just aggravated enough, like, oh, this in my way. I'm trying to do this, whatever. And then it just tipped over, and even just me having to like fix, like I don't have time for this. I look, and all these clear plastic bases are, how was that even possible?
Just that's what blew off them.
So yeah, they're not on there with like at no point are archaeologists going to find them. All these adhered bases onto them and go, wow, 16 centuries later, they're still stuck. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, it's funny how it must be that the surface is just too smooth. Do we even have a Nemroth miniature? I don't remember ever seeing him.
A what?
Nemroth, you know, the Asterion special guy. I don't think we have that.
I don't know.
I don't think we do, because he's like holding his arm up and playing with his arm pad. He must have been one of the ones we never got in the first wave and never even thought about him until now.
I just reached back and grabbed the old Terraton and...
Snapped his base off again?
No, I molded him. I molded him a special resin base.
Oh, yeah. That too.
The problem is, I really like the base, but I made it the same diameter as the clear plastic one.
It's not big enough?
Well, it's big enough. It's plenty big enough. But I'm looking at other miniatures, and that base is way bigger than the stock Mantic base. So even if I wanted to make more of the base that I made, it's not like I'll be cramming anything on them. I don't think the progenitors are any of the big Veermen. I think the base is too big. That might just be...
We'll have to see. Those some of those ones are pretty big for those Veermen. Like the Terrors and stuff, they're quite large. And the progenitors, I think, are quite large. So we'll have to see.
We'll have to see what the base size comes with, because...
Well, that's everybody's flipping out about base. They're like, whoa, it doesn't tell you what base size is. You know why it doesn't tell you? Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as the model stands up.
As long as it stands up and there's enough room for four of... However pips they're supposed to be in there, as long as you can fit. Like, if you make zombie miniature and put a giant base on it so it fills with, like, a 3-inch by 3-inch square base, then, yeah, you're...
You'd be an idiot.
I would call bullshit on that. I would say
it doesn't help in any way. That's a hindrance. Why would you do that?
Right, but I'm just saying. For instance, that's. But
I know. But these people are like, they keep. Oh, it doesn't tell you this. It doesn't tell you that because it's simple. You don't have to overthink it, idiots. There's so many people complaining.
Bitches.
Whiny bitches.
From all four corners.
Okay, it's been real.
It's been a slice. Bye bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now... A word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is Tula.
Astro!
Oi there, dirigible. Help a fellow Empire Citizen out, would you?
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Hello, William.
I made the koala burgers.
So what's new?
Are you insane?
That better be a rhetorical question. And yes.
For far too long.
I once knew a Spaniard in Tarragona who spoke in gibberish like you.
Up, up, and escape!
That was terrible.
I should be a god, and instead I'm stuck down here like a worm.
She would tell me such wonderful stories.
Dr. Deja Vu will return.
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Sorry, Judge Pudding.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.